Good to see each of you this evening. I'm not sure if we have visitors with us. Just looking over the group, I'm not aware of anybody, but we do appreciate if you are with us. Rayanne, we still kind of consider you and Thomas kind of part of us in a way, sort of, but not really. And this thing's wanting to fall off. Okay, so what we're going to do this evening is just... Very quickly, and let me set the timer so I'll know how much time I'm spending here. I want to take a few minutes and just talk about dealing with changes in a church, in a congregation. How do we deal with them? I think one of the important things to remember is the attitudes that are necessary. Quite frankly, this is a modification of a lesson that I presented to you. It was either the Sunday that we talked about the work together in July of 14, or it was the first Sunday after we got here. Quite frankly, I'm not quite sure which. But and it was when problems arise in the church. So I modified it to when changes, dealing with changes. Because we still need to have a love for one another. If you want to open your Bibles, and I appreciate Patrick leading that song for me, when you go over to 1 John, there's a whole series of verses in 1 John 4, and there are other passages, but I'm going to read from the New King James, 1 John 4, and I'm going to begin at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So the passage here interweaves the idea of our love for God, God's love for us, our love for one another, and in having that love for one another, reflecting our love for God. And I think that's important when we deal with issues that are going to cause some changes in the congregation that aren't based upon a thus saith the Lord. As we've said in the past, we all agree that if a change were being proposed that violated the Word of God, there'd be no discussion about it, I would hope. The ones who wanted to make such a change would be taught and, if necessary, ostracized, but at least they would be taught. So we're dealing in areas that are not revolving around a thus saith the Lord. The other thing that we want to remember is that we have a responsibility of having humility in our relationships. We can go to 2 Timothy, and in the second chapter, verses 24 and 5, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. This deals primarily with the attitude of dealing with a brother who's in sin. But that principle is certainly going to apply when we're dealing with someone who we might have a disagreement with and it's not a case of sin. So if I'm obligated to have a love for that brother that's committed sin as I try to get them to not sin, I certainly have the responsibility to have a love for that brother or sister as we talk about and express thoughts about areas of expediency within either our lives individually or as a collective of the congregation here. And so that would be the first point that I would want to make with regard to the attitude needed as we discuss it. I think it was shown last week. I would hope it would be shown in a little while. The other thing is the steps that we need to take. One is the idea of seeking equilibrium. As I mentioned in the lesson that was presented initially, I've come to love the word equilibrium because it's that sense of balance. We might think of it with regard to the idea of what happens when the rocks in our ear canal get out of balance and we lose our sense of balance. Those crystals or those rocks need to be realigned and we have equilibrium again. And the idea of equilibrium is not the idea that we are going to sacrifice truth, but we're simply going to come to a balance on issues and understand what God's will is in them. And so I would use a passage like Ephesians 4 and verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. That's what we need to do as we seek equilibrium on how we as a congregation, not only in areas of the Scriptures, but areas of judgment as well. How do we deal with each other? Make sure that we speak the truth in love. The other thing is to take time to grow. And by that I'm simply meaning that it's important for us to make room for individuals to come to an understanding and to come to a decision about matters. That's true, again, in matters of Scripture, thus saith the Lord's, and also in matters of judgment that we might engage in. So I would hope that what we would be willing to do is create a leeway with one another as we deal with these things. In this particular area, I think it's also important that we be willing to really listen to one another. It's really easy for chatter to be here and chatter to be here, and they never really come to understand each other. It just becomes a bunch of noise. And in that, when that happens, what oftentimes can happen is we misappropriate motives to one another. A passage that we're all quite familiar with, "Judge not that you do not be judged," is often used by the world incorrectly, but I think there's an applicable point in the things that we're discussing right now, and that is that we must be careful not to attribute negative motives to anyone about the particular items that we're talking about as to whether or not we end up making changes in our Sunday services. We want to be careful not to question someone's spirituality, someone's motives for not wanting to do God's will or anything like that. We just have to be very careful that we don't find ourselves in that kind of judgment. If we do that, it's going to do harm for ourselves individually and our relationship with one another. And I believe it would do harm for the congregation as well. The proverb writer says in Proverbs 18 and verse 13, "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him." As we've talked in the past, and this is applicable in a number of circumstances, even the parenting that we talked about this morning for husband or for fathers, we need to hear things out and then respond. And I know that it's easy sometimes to have a knee-jerk reaction to something. No, I don't like that. I'm not going to do it that way. And even to the extreme of saying, not only am I not going to do it that way, but I stand in strong opposition to it. And that strong opposition might even move me away from that which would be peace and create for me a division of me from you kind of thing. And I would hope that in the course of this discussion that we would not take an attitude that this is something that we really are saying, look, it's either this or it's not. And I'm going to come down hard on this, and if you don't, then this is going to be my reaction, and I've got a point on that at the end of this. There in Romans 12, verse 18, Paul said, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." I think he has a broader context there about the world around us, but it's also about our relationship with one another, that we should always seek to have peace in our relationships. in the 14th chapter, verse 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. The things that we're going to be talking about, I've got to be careful not to claim that it doesn't edify me because it's not what I want. I've got to be careful about that. This idea of edifying is the idea of building up that's really connected with my whole spirituality. And so we want to be very careful on how we treat these matters of judgment. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. There are areas of judgment where I'll yield to another. We talked last week about the fact that in some cases, with the regard to the eating of meat, and we're not going to go to the 1 Corinthians again, but he very clearly gives instruction to us about the weaker brother and the stronger brother and how they should find a harmony with one another. Equilibrium, if you will. The Philippian letter, Paul says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. I think if we keep that attitude, if we keep that in mind, then we can come to a resolution of how we're going to, or if we're going to, make any changes in the arrangements for our Sunday assemblies at the appropriate time that a final decision is made. So we need to be careful about taking the steps. And I'm going to close with this. Is this issue worth dying over? And that's an important question. And I think that if any of us would decide that however it comes down, if it doesn't come down our way, then we're going to leave. We're going to find a group that's going to do it our way. Look, if you have really strong convictions in that, I understand, but if you're letting it be something that would tear you away from our fellowship, then you do need to ask yourself, was this issue worth dying over? And I'm using that obviously in a metaphor. Is it worth dying for? And I would hope that whatever we conclude on this in the months ahead, that nobody's going to take the stand, it's going to either be my way or I hit the highway. That's what I wanted to share with you this evening. And so we're going to have the invitation. There may be somebody in the audience this evening that understands the Scripture regarding walking in the light and understands that at this time they're not walking in the light and you need to come to the light of Jesus Christ. It may be that you were in the light, walking with Him as a child of God, and now you've gone back into the world and you desire that we pray with you about it. We may not be aware of it, but you bring it to our attention and we'll pray about it. Or you may be one who has never died with Christ to put on Christ in baptism. We'd want to give you that opportunity as well. You can have a seat at the front as we stand together and as we sing.